Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Got me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors, and Alec Medford. We have AFC-NFC championship games coming up this weekend. And so I kind of want to have this discussion because I read an article on Yahoo that had some intriguing names in it. I want to get involved with the people from the Twitch, from the YouTube, from the Franklin Injury Attorney text line 877-881-1053. Who's the figure in this game? So it can be coach, owner, player. Whose legacy you think can most change with Super Bowl 59? Because there are quite a few candidates.
I think it's Josh Allen.
Okay.
I think it's him for sure.
Okay. Tell me why. I don't think you're wrong.
Because he has not done it yet.
Yep.
He's got all these other accolades put together. Potentially an MVP season. This could be the thing that launches him into the undisputed, he's a Hall of Fame kind of guy. His numbers at the end of his career are going to stack up, but this would cap it for him. Being in division championships important, but getting into a Super Bowl, winning a Super Bowl would stamp that for him.
Do you guys think that it would also put Josh Allen, at least to start next year, and his play would dictate it from there, in the no question he is in the tier, not along with Patrick Mahomes, but he's in the same tier as Patrick Mahomes? Because a lot of people now are like, tier one is Patrick Mahomes, and then we'll get to the rest.
Then it's Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, and Lamar.
But now, do you think they would be like, all right, so clearly Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen are tier one?
Yeah, next year it would change that way.
Okay,
all right. Maybe even put Jaden Daniels in there.
Ooh, okay.
Because that's going to be Josh Allen's opponent.
So, oh, man, look at that spicy tease right there. All right, Alec, is there somebody for you, because I think there are several viable candidates on here, and clearly Corey's selection of Josh Allen makes a whole lot of sense.
I'm going to go with somebody on the same team as Josh Allen. I'm going to say his coach, Sean McDermott.
Okay.
Because I don't think he's really that great of a coach. And
really?
Yeah, there's been too many good things going his direction up until this season where, ironically, whenever I say that, it's like they had a loaded team. They had a really high salary just total for the past 2, 3, maybe even 4 years with Josh Allen on that team. They had a lot of stars on that team. They make the move for Von Miller, so on and so forth. And now they're in a season where I thought they were going to be a wild card and leave kind of team because they had to salary dump so many people
for sure
this past offseason, and now they're over exceeding my expectations because the coaching has been good enough and the quarterback has been good enough, and they make one key move ahead of the deadline in Amari Cooper to help out that situation. So I think if he wins the Super Bowl, even if he really just makes the Super Bowl, if Sean McDermott does, he changes my mind entirely about the coach that he is. If he fails in the championship game, though, I'm sticking to my guns there and saying that I don't think he's the greatest head coach I've ever seen.
You know what's really funny about that? And I think the way you put it is really interesting. Sean McDermott has all of the second tier information to confirm him as a top-notch coach. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
But he doesn't have the thing. It's kind of like Lamar Jackson. Like, if Lamar Jackson would have won the Super Bowl, then clearly he has all of the other things you need to be great. And Sean McDermott is like one of, I don't know, 5 coaches in NFL history to have X number of straight 11-win seasons. And every person in that category is elite except for him. And so if he got to the Super Bowl, if he won the Super Bowl, then I feel like you're like, all right, there's the main data point I needed to back up the rest of this. I'm going to throw out 2 others, and I want to get your thoughts. Because Josh Allen is really hard to argue against for number one. And from the 682, it's absolutely Josh Allen. If he loses to Mahomes again, he's the new Phillip Rivers. It's these two people. Patrick Mahomes, and I know I'll have to explain that one, and Jaden Daniels.
You don't have to explain Mahomes, really.
Okay.
I mean, like, the three-peat, that's in lore that nobody can get to.
And so it's not as dire as Josh Allen, depending on where you're coming from, right? Because if you're Patrick Mahomes, you're like, the hell it's not. I need a bullet point that's going to say I'm the best of all time. Because he's that good, and he's going to be in that conversation.
Yeah, three-peat gets you your own wing.
Exactly.
At the Hall of Fame.
Josh Allen is like, I'm trying to show everybody I'm not, and I hate to say this because I love the guy, I'm not Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can lead my team to the championship. I can slay the dragon, and I can be on that top tier. But for Jaden Daniels, he's another one. Because in the Yahoo article, they put Jaden Daniels number one. And
wow.
Josh Allen number two.
Well, I mean, think about it for a second.
He gets to
and wins a Super Bowl as a rookie.
Never been done.
First one to ever do it after the season that he put together, which, Kevin, I was listening this morning. I think Rookie of the Year might be the hottest race of this season. Not MVP. I think
offensive
rookie of the year,
or defense?
Offensive.
Okay.
But I think offensive rookie of the year, you put out some very talented players.
That's true.
Neighbors included. Like, there's some Brock Bowers. There's some very big names.
Brock Bowers might finish third.
But,
and he's had one of the most amazing seasons you've ever seen.
But for Jaden Daniels, if he was able to do that, did something nobody's ever done, and like already puts himself in that category. I had an amazing year. Now, obviously, to get in the Hall of Fame, there needs to be more of it.
Sure.
But it starts your career off a certain way. And, like, just imagine what that does for that whole organization. That whole place is going to be, it's already rejuvenated.
You know, it's funny that you said that whole organization, and I agree with you. How much does this light up the garbage teams of the NFL? Because you think about it, they were 4-13 last year. It's not like they were just waiting to break through, and they had like some busted up quarterback who that's the only thing that was, they went 9-8 and that was the only thing keeping them. They were terrible last year. They were 4-13. And now Jaden Daniels would go to the front of the line of greatest rookie quarterback season we've ever seen. I guess probably greatest rookie.
So much work roster wise.
And that is true.
Like front office, roster, coaching staff. They built this thing purposefully, Kevin.
And
like that's what happened, was they built it purposefully knowing that they were going to get a number one quarterback.
Yes.
Knowing that that was going to be the case, they were like, okay, what else can we do? We're going to get the quarterback. We got to build everything else around him. So what else do we need? We need coaches. We need this. And they went and got everything they needed.
And it can be done. So like, if you're every team that needs hope, and let's say maybe you are going to draft Cam Ward or Shador, or hell, maybe even think it's Travis Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
He'd probably throw the ball. And you're like, it can be done.
But a lot of people, what they do is they get the quarterback and go,
we're done.
We did it.
Yeah.
Instead of, hey,
you're right,
we're still crap.
We
need to be better at all these things.
Now, so Jaden Daniels is at the top of this list. I would probably go Josh Allen one, but I understand Jaden Daniels would, I mean, he's already gotten them to the first conference championship game in 33 years. He's already having one of the greatest rookie quarterback seasons we've ever seen. But this would stamp it as the greatest rookie quarterback season we've ever seen.
Yeah, nobody can touch it.
Absolutely. And then number three, and somebody brought this up from the 682. He gave up the rushing record for this. Saquon Barkley. So I wanted to throw out Saquon Barkley for a totally different reason than the other two. So Josh Allen needs it to show, like, I'm the dude. Like, I have everything, and maybe he'll win MVP as well to go along with this, but he's like, I'm the guy, or I'm one of the guys, along with Patrick Mahomes. Jaden Daniels needs, if he got it.
Would benefit from
it. Yeah, exactly. Saquon Barkley, then does Saquon Barkley not go on the list along with Drew Brees, Reggie White, probably Peyton Manning, as the greatest free agent acquisitions in the history of football?
I mean, I think a lot of people would look at McCaffrey as one of those amazing additions, and that's kind of the same thing. A team that was already well built, and then they add an all-pro running back to the mix.
Is that a trade?
Free agency, I think.
Okay.
And McCaffrey?
Yeah.
McCaffrey was a trade.
Okay.
But yeah, like that's, I mean, for him specifically, it puts him in, he already can't overcome a quarterback. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be greater for a quarterback to do it. People will probably classify Jalen Hurts higher than Barkley. But on the scale of respected all pros, everybody knows what Barkley is. And so it just adds to his lore that much more.
It's and I think it makes it really interesting because we've talked a lot about the upped valuation of the running back. And no longer could you make a concrete, you can't prove me wrong argument that, well, who's going to get put over the top by a running back?
Yeah, you can't go just go sign a running back for free agency and then go to the Super Bowl unless your team is stacked.
What?
But they just did.
Maybe you could if that's the last piece. And then you're
and maybe the idea of drafting a running back that high, like if it's that guy, it might be worth it. Even though the Giants weren't able to do it, look what happens whenever you have a good team and a good running back.
And Broadus has talked about like how much he loves Reggie White. And I get it. I think a lot of people would say Reggie White is the greatest free agent acquisition in the history of football. And I'm not here to argue against that. I'm just saying Saquon Barkley could be in that group with him, Peyton, and Drew Brees is saying, like, this is somebody you went out and signed, and it changed everything
for your franchise, for sure.
So the list from there, and we can go over any of these people that you want, but Yahoo has Jaden Daniels, number one, Josh Allen, two. I think we've talked about it. I would flip those. Saquon Barkley, Andy Reid, and Patrick Mahomes are lumped together.
And that makes complete sense.
It does. It really does. Andy Reid's another person who, once he won the Super Bowl, it made everything else he had done fall into place. Because he was like, I was in five other conference championship games in a Super Bowl. And you're like, yeah, but you always lost. But once he won, you're like, okay, now you have all of the evidence I need to build a case for like one of the best of all time. Dan Quinn
is
number five
on
the list.
Yeah, because he lost the Super Bowl.
He did.
And what was every time Steven talked about him, he would always mention, don't forget, he should have won that Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And so that would definitely, it would, because having won as a defensive coordinator with the Seahawks, been with the Falcons, you can always then say it was Shanahan's fault. You can be like, it was his fault. He called bad plays. I okayed it, but it was still on him. Look, I'm a really good coach. I won with freaking Washington.
Yeah. Like
that would definitely put him in a new stratosphere.
Was he there for the second? I know he won a ring with the Seahawks. Was he there for the second season where they made the worst play call in the history of football?
Oh, when Pete Carroll said,
yeah,
let's throw it instead of running it in?
I don't remember if he was there for that one. I know he has a ring for the Seahawks.
2015 was when he took over. So that would be, I don't know what year that was, but 2014 was his last year with them.
And so he might have.
Yes, they lost.
Okay. So he was there for the one they won, and so Dan Quinn is sitting here saying, I have the worst meltdown in the history of second half football on my resume. I also have, and I know it's not his play call, but I'm part of the team that made the dumbest play call in the history of football to help both of those things help artificially inflate the greatness of Tom Brady, but that's neither here nor there. And so if he could win a Super Bowl, that would be high on the list. Steve Spagnuolo, from the Chiefs defensive coordinator, and Andy Reid, even in the last couple days, has stepped out and said he deserves another chance. Let him be a head coach. He deserves another chance. And this one I know is probably the one people want to talk about. Number seven on the list, Commanders owner Josh Harris.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you talk about what I would assume would be a beloved figure forever in that greater DC area. It's got to be Harris, right? Like, you got rid of the scumbag owner who did a lot of questionable ethical things.
Yes.
And we all didn't like, and you got him to go away. And within 18 months, you won a Super Bowl. I'm not saying that the Cowboys fans would feel the same.
But you're not
sure.
Saying it.
That's true. I'm sure there are other fan bases out in the world that would be like, you know what? I can relate to that. I also would like to get rid of my ethically questionable owner so perhaps we could win a Super Bowl in the next 18 months. And you brought up the other guy, Jalen Hurts. Does it depend how the Eagles win the Super Bowl to change people's perceptions of Jalen Hurts? Because there's a lot of people who are like, yeah, Jalen Hurts is fine, but he has the best roster in football. Do they have to win the next two games like 38-21, 35 to 31? Like, do they have to be games where like Jalen Hurts runs wild and passes, or can they just win a Super Bowl and people are like, all right, I guess Jalen Hurts is that dude. I don't care if it was 12-10.
I think they can do that. I think they can. I think there's still room for you to be able to make that kind of legacy just by being a Troy Aikman champion. It depends on really what you want. You know, do you want the I did all the stuff, or do you want the hey, I was the leader of a team that did something great?
Yeah, yeah. And then, by the way, if you're curious, the last two people on the list are DeMar Hamlin and Bobby Wagner. Now, for very different reasons, DeMar Hamlin, in the span of what would then be 25 months, would have just one of the most incredible turnaround stories for a human of, hey, I technically died on the football field, and then 25 months later, I was there when we won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And then Bobby Wagner is more of a legacy thing because, again, we go back to the Dan Quinn defense that we were talking about with the Legion of Boom. He was badass with them, but he's probably like, I should have another ring.
Yeah, he could have been badass with another team too, but they just didn't want to sign him.
Cowboys. Yeah.
Cowboys, that is.
Cowboys. Yo, I know.
The Cowboys.
Everybody listening right now identified who you were talking about, and they just sighed.
The Cowboys have passed up on some players because money. The check. Because the check.
Because they think nobody understands the salary cap like they do. And I feverishly disagree. We're the KNC masterpiece right here. Look, I'm sorry. I know I'm not supposed to do that. We're supposed to tease. We're supposed to go to the next segment. One of the worst things that's happened in the last 30 years for the Jones family is not the lack of winning. It's the explosion of information available. Because
yes.
Now everybody knows how full of crap they are on certain things.
Yeah.
Yep. And I will say that. I have said that to them before. We got Steven to agree that they just value running backs differently when we broke down the nuts and bolts of not signing Derrick Henry. And that's been the biggest problem is you can say, well, the salary cap is this, the salary cap's that. I didn't know that information when we started the salary cap in the mid-90s, also because I was about to be a teenager. But all that information being available has been one of the worst things that can happen to the Jones family because now you can't confidence man your way through it.
Nope.
Because I can be like, I can fact check that. That's inaccurate.
And people are calling them out.
Yes.
And then
yes, they are.
They get mad and yell back.
Sorry about that, Alec. I cut into your time.